Good morning. How's everybody doing? Somebody have something they want to say for the Lord right quick?
Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. All right, you had your chance. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to tell you who to vote for today. Good timing, right? Well, that's what I'm going to do. Kinda. I want to talk a little bit this morning about how to vote. Not who to vote for. How to vote. And if you've already voted, and we all will here if we haven't already, I want to talk a little bit about aftermath, because both of them are important. And believe it or not, Scripture has something to say about it. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and maybe help you some. Some have already cast votes, so now you're all you're going to be looking for and dealing with is aftermath or regret. So the question in an election is not who do I vote for, but the question is how do I vote? Now this message is going to address politics, but it's going to not be a political message. I intend to address politics, but I want to address them theologically. If you come to me personally and your life is in chaos and you ask me for help, what I'm going to do with you is visit with you and try to find out what kind of chaos your life is in. I'm then going to take the chaos that we discover in your life, and I'm going to take it to the Word of God, and I am going to craft for you a biblical solution to the chaos that is in your life. That's what I do. If you come to me and your family is in trouble, you and the spouse are on the outs. Your kids and you don't get along. There's trouble in the family. You come to me with chaos in your family. I'm going to visit with you, many of you as I can, and I'm going to figure out where the chaos comes from. And when we figure out where that chaos is coming from, we're going to take the Bible, and then we're going to craft a solution for the chaos, for the dysfunction, for whatever is going on in the family to be able to have a better outcome. Individuals make up families. Families have chaos, and the Bible has answers for that. A group of families get together and they form a church. Now, if sometime this week through one of those doors walks in some leadership from a church here in the area, and they come to me and say, we have chaos in the church. We don't know what to do about it. There's disunity and people are infighting and all kinds of things, and they come to me and express to me that there's chaos in their church, I'm going to listen. And we're going to see if we can figure out where this chaos is coming from and what's causing it. And then guess what we're going to do? We're going to go to the Bible and we're going to craft some solutions to the chaos that is in that church, because the Bible has answers for the chaos that's in churches. It has answers for individual chaos, answers for family chaos, and it has answers for church chaos. Now, when we look around and we see that there is chaos in society, and that it is multi-layered and multifaceted in a society, what generally happens then is that we go to another book instead of the same book. We want to go to another book because we've bought into some kind of garbage that says that there's got to be a separation between the church and the state and individuals in the state. No, religion has no place in any of that sort of thing there. We've got to go to some other source to find out how to fix the chaos that we have in society. That's flawed. That's what I kind of want to show you to start with here this morning, is the flaw in that thinking, and that we need to use the same Bible that we use to fix personal chaos and family chaos and church chaos if we're going to fix societal chaos. It's got to be the same source. That's how God designed it to be. Believe it or not, God has Bible solutions for societal problems. And my purpose today is to, if you've not already voted, to inform your vote. And if you have already voted, then my message today is to inform you of how to deal with things in the aftermath, no matter which individuals are elected, to regulate your actions in the aftermath of a completed election. What I share today is not intended to get us all to vote in the exact same way for the same person. It is intended to help you vote in the same process. Romans chapter 13, one verse to start with. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Very important piece of scripture right here. There can be no discussion of government without a discussion of God. There's the problem. On its face, there is our problem right here. There cannot be a discussion of government without there being a discussion of God. Any discussion of government has to be a discussion of God. Why does socialism and communism keep coming up as solutions to the things that we have before us or facing us today? Why do we keep hearing those terms pop up in an America where those things were supposedly stamped out decades ago? Why does socialism and communism keep coming up as solutions to the problems of the day? Because those two forms of government suppress religion. That's why they keep coming up. They're forms of government that suppress religion. We don't want to make the discussion of government about a discussion of God. That's why they keep coming up. If we allow God into the discussion of government, it will affect how we do it. And so some would say, and push these ideas to get God completely out of the discussion, to suppress the talk of God. Socialists, communists don't want God in the equation whatsoever. At times there has been a fear fomented in this country or in this nation that if we don't purge religion from the halls of government, that this nation is going to become some kind of theocracy, and that that'll be a bad thing. Immediately, as we look at our world today, you think about theocracies, people point fingers over into the Middle East and would say that some of the nations there that are engaged in theocratic type of governments, and look how that's turning out. Well, first of all, those are not theocracies. Those are ecclesiocracies. They are governments run on a religion, not a theocracy. Theos is God. Kratos, rule. Theocracy is God rule. Ecclesiocracy is religion rule. And what we have in the Middle East is a bunch of religion rule, not theocracy. And so what we hear from time to time is that, you know, we don't want to have God running anything, that we don't want a theocracy to come about. In all of that, because we see the examples of what is taking place in places like the Middle East there, where people are oppressed, where people are used up by the religion of that land, and so we don't want to see that take place here. We live in an ignorant country. Used not to be as ignorant as it is, but it is ignorant now. An ignorant country that does not want God rule. An ignorant country that does not want theocracy. Turn with me if you will. I'm going to look at 3, 4, 5 scriptures here real quickly. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Verse 20 says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Go to the 4th chapter. 17th verse. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High," Theos, God, "ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." Base isn't good, by the way. Those are not good men. Natural men. These are carnal individuals. Flip over one more time to the 26th verse, same chapter. "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do," what? Kratos, rule. The heavens do rule. Psalm 22. Verse 28. "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among nations." He's over all the nations. Go to Psalm 103, verse 19. "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now let's get something straight. Something has to be straightened out before we make another step anywhere else out here. The world is a theocracy. That's the clear teachings of the Word of God. The world is a theocracy. God rules already. And man's efforts to purge God from government, man's efforts to purge God from society only make things worse for man. The question then becomes, not does God rule, but how does God rule? Now, this is the point of the message today, to understand how He rules and how He works this process through these nations that He sets up kings and brings down kings in, that He rules over in a theocratic manner. This world is a theocracy. How does He rule? Romans 13:1 says, there is no rule but God's rule. Do you see that there? There's no power but of God. There's one ruling entity. This is a theocracy that he's talking about. There's no power but of God. God is the power. And the power, it says here, rules through what? Powers. He says that there is a power who rules this world through powers. Powers get their power from the power. He rules through these powers, these high powers. And powers have to be careful. Powers have to be careful to rule in such a way that they don't try to take the place of the power. Government is not to be everything to the people. Now we're getting into something here. Government's not to be everything to the people. Only God is to be everything to the people. He is the power. Not the powers that He ordains. He is the power. We're not to look to the powers that He ordains for everything. We're to look to God for everything. God breaks government down into four levels. Self and personal level first. Everyone has a personal responsibility. Everyone has, this whole life hinges on what we're going to do with Jesus Christ. On a self level, a personal level, we must do something with the knowledge that there is one God. We are held responsible for that knowledge. And God says that He has placed enough information in creation alone to tell us that He's there and that He is one to be bowed down to. So self is the first level that we look at here. The goal of government is to govern self. We're to govern ourselves. If we would govern ourselves, we would not need someone to govern us. So the first level, the first plank of government is self. Every soul according to what he says here, every soul is to be subject unto the higher powers who are also subject to the higher power. So every soul, every person gives an account for themselves. We have to take responsibility for our actions and our thoughts and the things that we are about, and those things should measure up, should match up with the Word of God. And if our actions, each and every one of us, would measure up to the Word of God, it would need to go no further as far as government is concerned, because we'd be in the right way, going the right direction, doing the right stuff for the right reasons, all of us, if we would subject ourselves to the higher power. We're a kingdom of priests that are to be governed directly by God's rule. The second plank, the second level is family. Individuals, one believing man, one believing woman, joined together for one lifetime. That's God's plan. That is His plan for moving things forward. There's no other plan. There's no second plan. There's no other great idea that He had sometime later in ecclesiastical history. He had this plan from the beginning. He is sticking with His plan. One believing man, one believing woman for one lifetime. That unit becomes a family. That is a family. Not the other definitions that we're hearing this day. That is the family that God has laid out biblically for us. Under the rule of God, a family under that rule. Man having authority over his family, he's the head of the wife, he's the head of their children, and this is the way that this is supposed to be. The third level or the third plank is church government. We have individuals joined together into families, the families joined together into churches under the leadership and guidance of shepherds. Communities that come together, ruled personally and as families and as churches under God. Then we come to civil or societal government. Churches, communities then are then grouped together under leadership ordained by God that is to be ruled by God. This is the way He has it outlined. This is the process that we see right here in chapter 13 of Romans. When a man decides to run civil or societal government apart from the rule of God, God will not allow it to run efficiently. He will not allow it to run effectively. And He will not allow it to run productively. Why? When government sets themselves up as God, they will be judged by God. So we can't allow man to turn the government into what it was not meant to be. Scripture says, call no man father. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We have one Father, and we're to look to Him as Father. We're to call no other man Father. Our government is not to be our Father. We have one Father, and we're to look to Him for the things that we need. It's not our government which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not our government that we're to look to. It's our Father that we should be looking to. When we look to government to provide our needs rather than God, there is trouble. Matthew says it this way, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." When you look to government instead of God, you just call some man or some woman God, is what we've done. That's a homocracy, man rule, when we get over into that area there. There's only one government. That's what Romans 13 is talking about here. There's only one government because there's only one God. Everything must come under that government. Everything has to line up under that one government, that one global government. one government that is God. Everything else has to line up under that. If it's going to run efficiently, if it's going to run effectively, if it's going to run productively, it has to line up under that one God. So, who should you vote for? No. So, how should you vote? You should vote for the person, the platform, the party that is going to best represent the values of the kingdom of God. One government, everyone under that answers to one. How do you vote? For the person, platform, party that best represents the values of the kingdom of God. How close to or how far away from those values government gets determines how God interacts with those powers. There's good and evil. We'll talk about that in a moment here. But how those powers and how the society works under them determines how God works through those powers and down into the society. The more the society and the powers that be line up with the values of God, the more blessing that trickles down through to the people. The more that we move away from the values of the kingdom, the less benefit the people get as things trickle down through there. Listen to me. Both of our political parties, and three or however many there are now, have some values that line up with the kingdom of God. There are some democratic values that line up with the kingdom of God. There are many that don't. In the Republican side, there are some values that match up with the values of the kingdom of God. There's a bunch that don't. In persons, there are some values that match up with the kingdom of God. Much that doesn't. In the parties that are involved, in the platforms that they have, same situation. Some values that represent the kingdom of God, but much that does not. Our task is to evaluate that. Evaluate the party. Evaluate the platform. Evaluate the persons that are put forward. And then we have to come to a decision as to which will best line up with the values of the kingdom of God. Your votes are to be value votes according to the Word of God. When you move from your vote from a value vote to a benefit vote, then what you're saying is that you're not trusting God for your provision. You're trusting man for your provision. And God will not stand for that. And in not standing for that, you will begin to see the lack of blessing that flows down from the power to the powers to the society. And the society begins to be in great trouble. Look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. The government has one purpose in two parts, according to what we have right here. Government has one purpose, and it's in two parts. Under God, government is to promote the well-being of its citizens and to protect the citizenry from evil. That's the purpose of government. In two parts, promote the well-being of its citizens for good and to protect the citizens from evil. When government does more than that, when government moves beyond the scope of those two simple things in one purpose, when it moves and does more than that, it usurps the power of another government. Here's the rub. When the powers that be begin to do more than promoting well-good amongst well-doing and good among the citizenry, and stop protecting the citizenry from evil, then they intrude into the office of the power. When government tries to be your mama and your daddy, there's trouble. When government does that, you're going to be taxed to pay for that. You're going to be taxed to pay for what God has described as His responsibility. Now, are you beginning to see where the mess is? Are you beginning to see where the chaos in the society is? When we get to this place of chaos, there's got to be some way to go into it and say, okay, what's the problem? You see, that's what we do with the self. That's what we do with the family. That's what we do with the church. What's the problem? Where's the chaos coming from? Identify the chaos. And once you identify that, then you take means to correct that through biblical means. And so you can readily see, as just a little bit of what I'm sharing with you today, if you extrapolate that out, extrapolate this out and see what is going around us, this boiling mass of stuff, where it's coming from, because we have set up something, a government between us and God. We've set up a government between us and God that is acting like God. And He's not going to stand for that. The government has usurped the power and the authority of God. The Bible says that parents are to oversee the education of their children. Let that soak in. Think about that for just a minute. The Bible says that parents are to be in charge of educating their own children. Chaos. Chaos. The Bible says that parents are to provide for the welfare of their children. Let it seep in there a minute. Think about all that you know about who's taking care of children these days. And who's making that happen. The Bible says if a man is not willing to work, he should not eat. That means he should not get a welfare check. I didn't say if he couldn't work. I said if he will not work, he should not eat. If he will not work, he should not get a check for it. What are we doing as a government is rewarding laziness? and you want to take a look at what Scripture says about laziness for a minute? Wait a minute. I'm meddling. No, come go with me for a minute. Think about what's taking place and who is setting themselves up between us and God as God. And God is going to stand there and say, oh, aren't they cute? Aren't they just so cute how they're doing that and taking care of each other down there and doing all this sort of thing? You know what? Maybe I ought to take a little vacation because they don't need me very much. Are you kidding me? Chaos. Chaos across the spectrum. Because we have set the powers up in place of the power. So how's a nation supposed to know good from evil? And here's where I'm aggravated with us. I am severely aggravated with us. How's a nation supposed to know good from evil? The church has to tell them. The church has to be on point. It's the church that has to bring this to a nation. The church that has to take the lead. The church that has to be vocal. The church that has to step out of their comfort zone. The church that has to quit digging foxholes and get back up and out where we belong. The church is here to restrain evil. You take a look when the church is taken out in the end of times and see what happens. Read the book of Revelation and you find out there, after the letters to the churches, you find no more mention of the church there, and you look at the chaos that's there then, and you compare that to the chaos today. Boy, we're in bad shape today, but we ain't near like we are then. And the reason that that will take place is because the church is removed. The restraint is then removed. The Spirit of God is removed in that way, and all evil just accelerates in that day. We are here to be the restrainer against evil. The church is here to do that. That means that we're to inform the powers that be of what's good. That we're to inform the powers that be of what's evil. No matter what the majority says. Now that's talking about the aftermath of what we're going to have Tuesday. No matter how that turns out, we are to vote our values prior. Vote the values of the kingdom of God, not our pocketbook, not our personal preferences, although our personal preferences ought to match up with the values of the kingdom of God. We are to vote the values of the kingdom of God, and then in the aftermath, because I'm going to tell you what, the majority don't always get it right. Hello? How many times have I seen churches vote on stuff that turned out bad? Huh? Majority don't always get it right. In fact, I'd bet against it if I were a gambler. So, when we don't respond as a nation to the government, God responds through that government with something to get our collective attention. When we don't respond to His government, then God works through the government that is there to push down to us some things that are unpleasant. So that in the unpleasantness that is pushed down, that He gets our attention and things get turned around. I don't know what more He's going to have to do to get our attention. I mean, He's got my full attention right now. With the chaos that is all around us. The chaos that is ensuing because of collective decisions that have been made. How does God respond when the majority veto Him? He'll allow us to elect evil. How many of us have said, there's no choice? We have no choice in this election. It's the lesser of. God will allow us to elect evil. He'll allow you to look the other way, to elect the evil that is before you. Scripture says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. A nation that is to be lifted up will be lifted up when it operates by God's standards. Righteousness exalts a nation. A nation that is lifted up, that is productive, that is efficient, that is working the way that it should be, it is lifted up and done so when it operates under the standards that God has put out there. When it dismisses those standards, there is a reproach. There is a decay. There is a decline that occurs in that society. Verse 4 talks a little about some of this. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Minister of God. This is talking about powers now. Not the power, but powers under the power. It calls them and speaks of them as ministers of God. Remember back in Deuteronomy, I think 16, 17, where it's talking there about the king and his duties before the people of Israel. And it says at that place that the king is to steep himself in the word. He is to steep himself in the word because so go the people. As he goes, so will the people go. He is the minister under the power. The power ministers through the powers to the society. And this is that whole idea is fleshed out here in 4, also over in 6. For this cause pay you tribute, taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. There is wrath that is built into the system. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and it talks about wrath. There is wrath that is built into this theocracy. This theocracy that God has put in place here on this planet, there is wrath that is built into it. When a nation steps into the area that is reserved for God and reserved for God alone, its citizens move away from good and towards evil. There's a devolution. A devolution that is built into the system. When individuals go away from God and put something in His place, there is a devolution that occurs in that society. And it's downward. It is a downward spiral. It is a downward system. It is downward. It's reproach. It is decay. It is decline that then takes over. And that devolution is designed to get the attention of the citizenry. Minister of God. That's what leaders are to represent. God told His kings to stay in the Word. He wants His powers to stay in contact with Him. So why is our society regressing, declining, becoming more base, devolving? Because God's government is being assaulted by the people we are electing. God's kingdom is being assaulted by the people we are electing. God's always going to resist man's attempts through government to be God. We're to obey God rather than man. When man asks us to disobey God, it's gone too far. It's gone too far. So what do? How do you vote? Number one, get right going into the booth. Get right going in there. Get your head on right. Do your homework. Become a values voter. Vote the values of the kingdom of God. Not all the personal junk, not all the stuff that everybody wants you to look at first and foremost that means that it's going to line your pocket or be good for you or whatever else. No. Become a value voter. Vote the values of the kingdom of God. That's number one. Get that right. Get the step in there. Make your vote. You are a citizen. You are one that has a responsibility to have a part. Man, if you didn't have a part in this, would you be screaming? Huh? There's a lot of folks that don't have the opportunity to do what you do. You have the opportunity to make a stand, to make your voice heard in these issues. You better make use of it. Coming a day, then you may not have that opportunity here in these grand old United States of America. Get right before you go into that booth. Do your homework and vote the values of the kingdom of God. And then, before you turn around and come out of that vote, that booth, get even more right. Because you've got to understand that there's going to be a sowing and reaping thing that takes place. And no matter how this thing turns out, you better get right coming out. And what I'm talking about getting right when you come out of here is to deal with the aftermath of this. Listen, what I'm tired of is I'm tired of the church being reactive. Reactive instead of being proactive like God intended for us to be. We keep reacting to the situation. We keep reacting to the bad that comes on instead of going after, seeking after righteousness which will exalt this nation. Why are we voting for the things we're voting for? Why are we voting for the people that we're voting for? Why are we having these choices? Because we're not presenting other choices. Because we're not moving for better choices prior to the situation coming up. We've got to be proactive. Proactive. Instead of reacting to all the mess that's taking place in our lives. Get right going in. Buddy, when you voted the way that God would be okay with you voting in this, then you better get more right and come out of there and get ready. Because this is not going to fix itself. There's a devolution. This wrath that God talks about is in full effect and force at the moment. Everything is going and devolving down until He gets the attention of His church to stand up and be the people that He's called us to be. I don't know how far the bottom is down there, but I'm going to tell you what, it's very uncomfortable where we are now. I don't want to hit the bottom. Get right. Vote. Vote your values. Values of the kingdom of God. And then before you step out of that booth, you turn to Almighty God and you ask Him what needs to be done and let Him know that you're here and that you're available to get done what He needs to do through you. Vote the values of the kingdom of God. Choose the party, the platform, the person that more supports the values of the kingdom. I remind you that we're not voting for a pastor. Right? We're not voting for a pastor in this election. We're voting on a commander. So you've got to be careful about how you look at those things. Look at the values that are behind these things. Look at that party, that platform. Look at that person and the values that they're espousing. The values that they say that they'll be behind. And then we hold them accountable for that. And we press towards those marks. our help is not going to land on Air Force One. We have a God that's over all. We need to get things back in focus. We need to get things back in the right order. Everybody quit voting their pocketbook and begin to get back to the values of God. So there it is. There's how to vote today. A whole bunch of stuff there to remind us of how this thing is ordered and what our responsibility is when we cast a vote. You voting for a new mama? You voting for a new daddy? Looking for a new father as a nation? Or can we trust the one that we have? And so that's the big issue that we have. That's the big question that needs to be answered. What's the value? What's the value? Whose values are you voting? Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Lord, there is nothing that you do not address, nor tell us what the benefit and the downside are going to be. You are very plain spoken, very clear about these things. And God, if we just think about it for a minute, we get to see these playing out before our very eyes right now. I suspect that maybe for the first time here this morning, some folks have seen something differently, have seen from your word what this is all doing, where this is all coming from. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help to fashion us differently as we leave this room today. Help us think differently about how we go about government, how we go about being a society. Lord, we need you. And God, we just need you to stir us up. Stir us up personally, as families, as church, as a church. And then, Lord, help us to unite with other churches to move the values of the kingdom forward. Lord, this is not Democrat, Republican. This is not black, white. There are so many things that have divided us. God, this is about one thing. It's about putting the right person, the right one, at the top of everything. God, there's been so many of us that have looked at things selfishly. And I ask you, Father, that you'd turn that around. Lord, help us in the aftermath of Tuesday to be proactive. Proactive, Lord God, in seeing things move back to the theocracy that you designed this to be. So, Father, cement these principles and these ideas in our heart and mind. Let us not move away from them. Lord, I'm here talking about government, and Lord, you can be working something very personal in people's lives this morning. You're good at that. And so, Father, we ask you now to help us to respond accordingly this morning. Maybe it's coming and praying for our nation. Maybe it's coming and praying for our candidates. Maybe it's coming and just lifting up our voice and crying out a simple statement like, help. Help. Lord, maybe this morning there's some that need to talk about their soul salvation. Maybe you've been talking to them all week about it. And they come in here expecting to hear a message in that light. And Lord, now they're about to leave and still unsure. I pray, God, that you give them the conviction and the courage to step forward, and God, let that worry, let that concern be known, that we might be able to help them with that. So, Father, whatever it is that we need to respond about today, I pray, God, that you give us the courage and conviction to do so, and God, that you'd help us to do it now. So, Lord, I leave these wonderful people in your hands. Ask you, Father, to do a work in them. Help them, Lord God, to be changed as a result of hearing from you today. Lord, help us to be different and walk out of here different. For For Father, I pray that in Jesus' name and amen. We're going to sing a